the spiritual purification that a person performs in order to be able to perform salat, in order to be able to perform tawaf, and other acts of worship. In some cases, it is a requirement. In some cases, it is not a requirement to have wudu, but it is recommended. And in fact, as I have mentioned before, it is recommended for a person to always be in a state of wudu, no matter what condition they may be in. And the Imams have actually given us indications where if sometimes it's even inconvenient for us, then we can do tayammum in certain conditions, and that takes the place of wudu. One area where Muslims had a certain amount of disagreement is what are the things that break one's wudu. And this is a common theme that we will see in many ahadith. If there is an act of worship which is important, which has been given a great deal of emphasis in Islam, then it is natural that some people, they will go to extremes and become very legalistic and very literal in implementing that act of worship. So wudu has a great deal of importance. It has a great deal of blessings and barakah. It is required for an act of worship. Our prayer is not possible if wudu is not done, and if it is not done properly. If the wudu is done improperly, then a person not only has to repeat the wudu, but they have to repeat whatever prayers they may have done with the improper wudu. So these are serious and important rulings. The tendency that people then have is to go overboard. To say, well, if it's that important, then we have to turn on the tap and spend half an hour or 40 minutes in front of the sink trying to make sure that we do our wudu properly. And if there is the slightest issue, then we have to go and repeat it, or we have to do our acts of worship again. So the importance then often translates to extreme performance of those acts of worship. And this is something which exists in Islam in different areas. Some people, they did go to extremes. One of those areas is wudu. There are a few examples that we can give. One hadith is narrated by the companion of our 5th and 6th Imam, Zurara ibn A'yan. He narrates that, I asked the Imam about a person who dozes off. What do you do if you are in the, usually this was in the masjid, and people would be listening to the khutbah, or they would be listening to tilawat of Quran. It would frequently happen in the day of Jumu'ah, because in that time people would sometimes come from Jumu'ah from a great distance, and because they didn't have cars, so in many cases the way they would do things is they would do ghusl Jumu'ah after Fajr, and then after Fajr they would travel and come to the masjid. They would get there maybe equivalent to say midday, a little bit before midday. They would spend some time in recitation of Quran, preparing for the khutbah. When adhan came, then they would listen to the khutbah, they would pray, and then they would return to their home, and they would get home in the afternoon. So in many cases, the day of Friday was a bit more of a hectic day than normal for people. And of course, they would try to spend the eve of Friday, Thursday night, also in worship. So it's very common, especially in Friday, for people to doze off during the sermon, because by that time they had already traveled, they had done worship, they hadn't slept as much the night before. So it was a common question, what do you do if you doze off? It can happen at any time. He says that, أَتُوجِبُ الْخَفْقَةُ وَالْخَفْقَتَانِ عَلَيْهِ الْوُضُوءِ. A person sleeps. Does that dozing off once or twice, does that make wudu wajib? The Imam says that, قَدْ تَنَامُ الْعَيْنِ وَلَا يَنَامُ الْقَلْبُ وَالْأُذُنِ. It's possible for a person's eyes to sleep, but the heart and the ears don't sleep. In order of our faculties, the first faculty that sometimes is distracted is the eyes. But the ears can still hear, or we still have some inkling of what is going on. If you've ever dozed off while driving, sounds will wake you up very quickly, but you can't see the road and you might accidentally swerve out of your lane. So the Imam says, sometimes you think that you've dozed off or slept, but it's just been your eyes. Your ears and your heart are still awake. فَإِذَا نَامَتِ الْعَيْنُ وَالْأُذُنُ وَالْقَلْبُ وَجِبَ الْوُضُوءُ. If all three of them have slept, meaning that your eyes were closed, you couldn't see anything, even for a brief period of time. And your ears also had gone to sleep and you weren't able to hear something. If somebody is speaking to you, or if you're listening to a khutbah, all of a sudden you realize that, what did that person say? Or you ask them, what did you say? That means that your ears also, they had gone to sleep. And through that you can find that your heart had gone to sleep, that you had actually dozed off. So this is a little bit of a more difficult standard that the imam is giving. It's not every time that we doze off that we will have to repeat our wudu. The imam says, if all three of these conditions are fulfilled, you don't see, you don't hear, and you don't, you can't perceive what is going on with your heart, then wajib al-wudu. Wudu is wajib. Zurara said, now this is a little bit difficult for a person to understand. You know, and many times we want to be careful, we want to be precautious. We don't want our prayer to be improper. He says, فَإِنْ حُرِّكَ إِلَىٰ جَنْبِهِ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِهِ. So let's say, for example, that there's a person and he is in the masjid, or she's in the masjid and her eyes are closed, and somebody takes something and moves it in front of their eyes or by their side, and they didn't realize it. So does that count as sleeping or not? Do we have to tell them that you have to go and repeat your wudu or not? The imam says, لَا حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِنَ أَنَّهُ قَدْ نَعْمُ. No. Not unless they are sure that they have gone to sleep. When you have certainty, then you should go and you have to repeat the wudu. حَتَّى يَجِيءَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَمْرٌ بَيِّنٌ. Unless there is something clear, definitive, certain. وَإِلَّا فَإِنَّهُ عَلَى يَقِينٍ مِنْ وُضُوءِهِ. Otherwise, and here the imam applies a principle of jurisprudence that is known in Shi'i fiqh and in the fiqh of other schools of thought as well. You knew that you were in a state of tahara, that you could pray, and now you have something that has taken place where you doubt. You're not sure. Did I break my wudu? Do I need to repeat it or not? But you're not certain. You might have some suspicions. The imam says that, فَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ يَقِينٍ مِّن وُضُوءِ. You knew for certain that you were in a state of wudu. And وَلَا تَنْقُضُ الْيَقِينَ أَبَدًا بِالشَّكِ. And you will never, or you should never, either reading is possible in Arabic, you should never break or negate your certainty because of a doubt. وَإِنَّمَا تَنْقُضُهُ بِيَقِينٍ آخر. You only break your certainty if you have another certainty. Now this principle here, the imam applies it in this case, but it applies to other cases as well. If you're uncertain, if your wudu has been broken, the standard is clear, but you're not sure if that standard has been met. So the imam is here giving the message that yes, wudu is very important. Salat is very important. But in order to get the benefit of wudu, in order to get the benefit of salat, we have to know how it is that we are to perform them. When we are to perform them, when we are not to. Otherwise, a person may get lost in these details and be standing there in front of the faucet for a long time, but not actually getting the benefit from the purification or from the salat. So this is one hadith where the imam has given some indication of how it is to perform our wudu and when to repeat it. Please recite salawat. One other hadith on this topic, which gives a little bit more explanation. This hadith is from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, "Man kana ala yaqinin fashakka, falyamdi ala yaqin." If a person was in a state of certainty and then they have a doubt, let them continue with their certainty. Don't stop because of doubt. فَإِنَّ الشَّكَّ لَا يَنْقُضُ الْيَقِينَ. Doubt should not destroy or eliminate your yaqeen. Your certainty should remain and you should act according to it. الْوُضُوءُ بَعْدَ الطُّهُورِ عَشْرُ حَسَنَاتٍ. Now this is the additional detail. The imam says that if you do wudu when you are already in a state of taharat, then it is a good deed. It is additional purification. In any case, if I've done wudu a few hours ago and I wash my hands again and I do purification, so it wakes me up, it makes me alert, it cleanses my body. It is a good deed, an act of worship, and you get ashru hasanat. You get 10 good deeds. But if I want to repeat my wudu when I already have wudu, there is a big difference between doing so because I have waswas and doubt and I feel like my prayers are invalid, or because I want to acquire more blessings. In the first case, we might sometimes compromise our priorities by redoing things.